It's the Lenten season, and I thought from here on through Easter, resurrection morning, we're going to focus on Jesus and some of his teaching. And so if you've got your Bible, John 14 is where I'm going to be at. Now, if you're familiar with John, and I know that you are, John 13, 14, 15, 16 are all from the upper room, conversation by Jesus to the disciples in the upper room. Four chapters. I'd check that out if you're not familiar with that. John 17, then, is Jesus' high priestly prayer that he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to God about the events that are just about to unfold. That's John 13 through 17. It's really good stuff. And so I'd encourage you to check that out today or certainly sometime during this Lenten period. I told the earlier service, and I'll mention it again, normally when I'm referring to John 14, I'm doing a funeral. I refer to John 14 fairly often, not everyone. I use different scripture for every funeral. But I use John 14 at the burial, at the cemetery, in every funeral service. And so normally, I see John 14 and I think about several things, one of which is heaven. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And so if you've got your Bible, I want you to follow along. John 14, just six verses. Jesus said to his disciples on that night. Now bear in mind, he had already told his disciples at least two or three times, I am going to Jerusalem to be killed. Okay? Are you still with me? That wasn't in their thinking. What do you mean killed? What do you mean die? He had even told them some detail. Going to be spit on. Going to be scourged. Going to be mocked. He told them this. They weren't able quite to process all of that. We'll refer to some of those scriptures in a Sunday or two. But he had told them, as I have written in your newsletter, he came to die. That was unsettling. And so we come to this point in the upper room at the Last Supper when he says to his disciples, and he says it to us yet today, let not your hearts be troubled. Easier said than done. In the back of their mind, wait a second, he said he was going to die. He said he's going to be killed. Let not your hearts be troubled. But Jesus is fully aware of their hearts, fully aware of their troubled minds, is calling them as he calls us, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me too. Now you might be sitting here this morning troubled about some things that are very different than what Jesus was talking to his disciples about. It may be financial, it may be marital, it may be you've lost your job, your home, it may be 100 different things, but you may be troubled here this morning, and I just want to encourage you to let these words of Jesus sink in. Absorb these words when Jesus calls us to come and let not your heart be troubled, but rest in him. Trust in him. Believe in him with the kind of belief that's more than just an arm's length. Yeah, preacher, I believe in God. The belief that is like Moses who fed the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness with no resources, but the food just came. You remember the story. Believe in him like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were just told, bow down to this 90-foot statue or else. And they said, we're not bowing down. I guess if we got to go to the furnace, we're going to the furnace. Believe in him in difficult situations. And so Jesus is calling us, trust me. believe. Verse 2. I think if I were picturing Jesus in the upper room that night, I think his countenance goes from heavy, because their hearts are heavy. I think his countenance goes from somewhat surreal and heavy to a smile begins to break over his face when he says this, "In my Father's house are many mansions." You see, brothers and sisters, we don't think often about our Father's house in the Heavenly Father perspective. And Jesus is inviting the disciples that night and inviting us, think about when you're troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms, he said. Think of that peace, that beauty, that sinless presence of God. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, here it comes, I will come again. The disciples thought it was going to be in their lifetime. Jesus said, I'm coming back. And I wonder if we long for that return. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Enter Thomas. We know Thomas, right? What do we know Thomas as? Normally we think of Thomas as the doubting Thomas. Well, I like to give credit to where credit is due here. If Thomas wouldn't have asked this question, we wouldn't have the answer in number 6. I'm thankful that Thomas asked this question. Lord, we do not know where you're going. They were thinking in fleshly terms. How could they possibly be thinking about eternity? And so Thomas, in his truthfulness, says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? It's just like if I told you I was going someplace but not where, you wouldn't know the way. And Thomas said, Lord, how do we know how to get there when we don't even know where you're going? And then we have the answer that Jesus gives. That's why I thank Thomas. I'm glad that Thomas asked the question. Jesus said to them very profoundly, Thomas, and 11, 12 with Thomas, and people of the 21st century, Jesus said, I am the way. Thomas, I know you're thinking in different terms here. You don't know how to get to Bethsaida, or you don't know how to get back to Jericho or whatever. But he said, I am the way to my Father's house. I am the way to the mansions in glory. I am the way to an untroubled heart. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so we've got this profound answer of Jesus to Thomas and the 12, that he is the only way. Hear me now for a second, brothers and sisters. The Pharisees knew about God. You still with me? The Pharisees were a religious lot. They knew about God. They didn't know the way through Jesus to God. That's why this answer is so profound. I am the only way to God the Father. They were thinking, well, I'm going to keep the commandments. I'm going to add in a few extra rules and regulations. And I'm going to be in good graces with God. Sometimes I think that's how we're thinking today. Jesus said, that's not it. I, the Son of God, the Savior of humanity, the Messiah, Emmanuel, I am the only way to the Father. That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? Jesus reminds us Don't let me step on toes here, but Jesus reminds us not all roads lead to heaven. too much talk going on today. Good person, get to church once in a while. Y'all make it. Y'all are going to make it there anyway. There's a whole lot of talk going on today. All roads lead there anyway. That's not what Jesus said, friends. Matter of fact, back in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many are on that way. And then there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few find that. He is the narrow way. And so he lays this out for all of humanity at that time and to ours. He is the only way to God the Father and to his mansions. It is Jesus. When I got back to the office on Tuesday morning, Sherry and I had a very good time in Arkansas, and thank you for allowing us the time away. I know you're in very capable hands with Pastor Isaac here and Pastor Les and the board, and you're just in very capable hands, and so I'm very comfortable being gone. I think I should do it about once a month. About a week a month should do it. Someone mention that to the board, will y'all? But anyway, while we were away, I got a few emails. And when I got back on Tuesday morning, I had nearly 100 of them. And I had several Facebook messages. And one of those Facebook messages was from a young lady in California whom I do not know, have not met. She simply stated in the text, please call my dad, and here's his number. I didn't even know who was calling. I knew her last name, and I did a little bit of research and looked around just a little bit, and I realized that this was the daughter of none other than one of my distant friends by the name of Kevin Campbell, who went right here to Motley High School. He was a wrestler on the Motley wrestling team. I think he was in seventh grade at about 98 pounds, and I was a senior at 138. And so I knew him so far back. Some of y'all probably knew him even. You know Kevin? Some of y'all? Good, good. And so Kevin, it was Kevin's daughter that said, will you call my dad? And anyway, long story short, Kevin's been in California ever since he left Motley here a long time ago. And Kevin will tell you, and if he comes to Motley, I've invited him to come here and tell us his story, because it is a God story. But for nearly 30 years, Kevin walked hand in hand with the devil, and he will tell you that. And then one day he met Jesus in a powerful, transformational way. And so now God has taken Kevin, transformed him, molded him into one of his own soldiers instead of a soldier of the adversary. And he has taken Kevin and he has plopped him in this place. And he said to Kevin, minister to these people. Ex-cons, prostitutes, gangbangers, the sexually deranged, all manner of mayhem. And he said to Kevin, minister to them. So he holds church with them on Thursday nights. They don't get up in time for Sunday. And so he holds church for them on Thursday nights. And he was telling me for 40 minutes some of the stories, as I did call him. But anyway, he said, in Kevin's words, he ministers just 2 feet from hell. It's a tough place. And he called that day, he said, or he wanted his daughter to get a hold of me and have me call him. And when I called him, he said, I listened to all 5 of your spiritual warfare sermons. And the Lord said to me, now it's your turn to have some spiritual warfare messages for your people. You know what? Jesus shed his blood for them too. You hearing me? Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for those people too, just as much as he did for me or you. And so Kevin has taken this very seriously to tell these people there's good news and his name is Jesus. And so that's what he's doing on Thursday nights. And he feeds, I don't know how many of them, a lot of them. When they come to Christ, he baptizes them in an old trough. Hallelujah. But he started his spiritual warfare series. And as happened some around here. You shake the cage of the lion, he bites. Physical challenges in his own family. Physical pain and suffering. Co-laborers wavering in their faith, wanting to check out on God. And Kevin just wanted to have someone to talk to because he was troubled a little bit. He was troubled about the reality of spiritual war. And so we talked for 40 minutes and we had good conversation. And I prayed with him and I encouraged him and told him, you ever come to Motley again, you come to Motley Free Methodist Church because we want to give God glory for your life and what you're doing. And so if you remember, you put Kevin Campbell on your prayer list and you continue to pray for him because he is ministering where no one else will go, telling them there's good news and his name is Jesus. And so my point to all this, sometimes some things in life trouble us. Amen? Sometimes some things in life trouble us. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I'm just here to tell you this morning, whatever is troubling you, friends, know these words of Jesus to be true and worthwhile and believe it. Believe it and trust Him completely. Now let me go on to talk about heaven for just a few more minutes. Our time is going away so quickly. Heaven is a place of comfort. You like comfort? Work with me here. I know good and well some of you like comfort. We like comfort, don't we? We like to be comfortable. We like the thermostat just right. We like, when it's too cold out, we like to turn it up. When it's too hot out, we like to turn it down. We like comfort. Heaven is a place of comfort. Why? Because it's in the presence of the Prince of Peace. Amen? It's in the presence of the living God. It is a place of comfort. It is a precious place. Jesus referred to it as my Father's house. Every time you go someplace, you've been gone a few days, Sherry and I were gone a few days, and you get to that point where you're thinking, it's just time to go home. You been there? It's just time to go home. We kind of have that longing. It's just time to go home. And we envision the comfort and the safety and the preciousness and the security of our own home. And it's just time to go home. Friends, let me tell you something. If you have been born again in the Spirit, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this world, no matter how comfortable, is not our home. We're just passing through. We're just passing through. As the song goes, our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not our home. Sometimes I think we get so comfortable here, and especially in America. It is such a blessing to live in America. Amen? We live in the greatest nation on earth. I was talking to some folks down there. Sue's sister and her husband were missionaries. And when you're away for a while and you come back and you just have this whole, praise God, I'm back in America. Sometimes, though, I feel we get so comfortable in America, we ain't even sure we want to go to heaven. Got it pretty good here. Heaven is a place, Jesus said, in my Father's house. It's a place of comfort. It's a precious place. And like David Jeremiah said, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You remember what Jesus said? I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he said. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. And I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, if we are not prepared, we're not going. You say, wait a second, preacher. I thought all roads lead to heaven. No, that's not what the Bible says. I thought it said if I'm good to my wife or I'm good to my kids or I don't cheat my boss or I don't cheat on my taxes or if I'm on some membership role, I'm good to go. That's not what it says, although those things are noble and need to happen. Jesus said, I am the way to my Father. Only through Jesus do we become part of the Father's mansions. And so he has gone to prepare a place for a prepared people. We've got to get prepared. We've got to get prepared by recognize we are, just like Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we are a sinner who needs a Savior. We have got to recognize that. And we've got to, as Romans 10:9 says, confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus and that God raised Him from the dead and you'll be saved. We have got to get prepared and the preparations is Jesus. And so when Dr. Jeremiah says, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. We best get prepared. I've got a lot more stuff to go over, but our time is already up. And let me just say a couple of things in closing. I'll bring it to a close, I promise. Heaven is a special place, friends. Jesus said, in my Father's house. That's a special place. That's a special place. Heaven is a prepared place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine for a minute if He created the perfection of Eden in all the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, all the birds, all the flowers, the perfection of Eden. If He did all of that in 6 days, can you imagine for a moment the grandeur of heaven that He's been preparing ever since? I say, glory. It's a prepared place. And Jesus said, I'm coming again. I'm coming again to gather up all those prepared, that where I am, you may be also. And friends, let me just say that Jesus is reason enough. Now let me close with this. It was Thursday morning of this week. I'm coming to church. I'm coming to work like always. I get right out here in the street and my good buddy, the deputy sheriff, flags me down. He said, Jim, our good friend Mike Stevens has just lost his wife. Can you go over there and see him? I said, absolutely. I'm not Mike's pastor, but we're friends. Okay, that's reason enough. And so I went over there and Mike's mother was there. Sheila's mother was there. And I just began to say how sorry I am, Mike. I'm so sorry. You know what? Sheila's my age. We ain't, well, at least I don't think I'm old, folks. She's my age. And I just began to pray for Mike. He was hurting so deeply. And I just began to pray. And as I was spending time praying with him and then his mother and then Sheila's mother, they were all there, I began to think how quickly life is over. Sheila was visiting with her mother-in-law the night before. She was visiting with Mike. Mike had told me about the days prior's activities. It was all normal. Yes, she had lupus, and yes, she had some pains in her body, but the day before was normal, and on Thursday morning, life as we know it in the flesh is over. And as I was there thinking and just praying for them, and just thinking about life, I was thinking about Motley and Leader, where I've grown all my life, and Staples, where I went to school, and Lincoln and Pillager, and all where we all come from. And I was just thinking, God in heaven, this woman, she's no older than I am. I wonder about the rest of society, our neighbors, our family, even church members. I wonder if we've made preparations. Because life can be over just like that. I wonder, this is what came to my mind that morning as I was hurting in my spirit because Mike was so deeply hurt. I was just wondering, I wonder if the rest of our community is prepared. I wonder sometimes if the rest of my family has made preparations. I wonder if those of us that sit in the four churches in Motley or the churches around our community, I wonder if we're prepared if today is the last day. Because heaven, you see, is real. Heaven is real. And someday, when we close our eyes in death, the next thing we're going to do is open them to eternity, and we're going to know heaven and hell are real. We may scoff at it here, because people do. People say, I got a pretty good here. I don't know if I even need heaven. I heard people at one of the last funerals I did right here at Brenny scoffing about with ease that hell will be. So we can scoff at it here. But when we close our eyes in death, we're going to open them to eternity. Whether we believe it or not, I believe the Bible is true. And I believe that's what's going to happen. And when we open our eyes to eternity, we're going to hear one of two things. We're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Because we've recognized Jesus is the only way to heaven, and we've trusted Him completely. Or we're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. We're going to hear one or the other. There is no in between. There is no, forgive me for getting on toes here, there is no praying out of someplace into someplace else. Luke 16 is clear about that. When we have closed our eyes in death, the decision time for eternity is over. We've got to prepare now. If we're going to be with Jesus forever, we have got to prepare today. Tomorrow could be too late. And I don't know about you, friends. I don't think it's just because God has called me to the ministry and I'm the pastor here. But I have a burden for people that they will know Jesus and be ready if tonight is the last day and be ready for heaven tomorrow. I have a burden for people, as Pastor Les has had and his wife, as they've ministered in this community for decades. We, like some of you, have a burden for the lostness of humanity. That's not judgmental. That's reality. Jesus said, broad is that road that leads to destruction. And there's a whole lot of folks on it. This is not a denomination thing. Doesn't matter what church we belong to or do not belong to. I told somebody right here in our parking lot yesterday, that sign out there ain't going to save nobody. The sign in the church down the street two blocks ain't going to save nobody. It's Jesus that saves. It is Jesus. It is not my name on a membership roll. It is not because I was baptized. It is not because I went to church. It was not because I didn't cheat the tax man. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that died on that cross so that we might live. But we must put our faith and trust completely in Him, recognizing we're a sinner that needs a Savior. It's Jesus. And so, friends, time's up. We're going to sing 326. It's a song called Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. And I just want to say today, if He's calling you to come have a relationship with Him that is eternal, then come pray with Pastor Isaac. He'll be up here. Pastor Les, you feel up to it, he'll be up here. If he's not, Isaac is here. Pray with one of these men today to be sure if you close your eyes in death tonight, tomorrow you will be in glory with Jesus. While we're singing this song, you look close at the words because it'll say He's pleading with you. He's pleading with us. He pled with me for a lot of years. And finally I said, yes, Lord Jesus, here I am. I want to be born again. I want to be part of your kingdom. I want to be with you forever in heaven. If he's calling you this morning, come pray with one of these brothers while we're singing this song. Do not let the devil say to you, don't listen to him. Don't embarrass yourself. You've been in church a long time. People think you're a Christian. If you have not got right with Jesus, do it today. Tomorrow could be too late. Let's stand together and sing this song. You come pray with one of these brothers if the Lord is calling you this morning. Day coming when death will knock at every one of our heart's door. It may be a good long time, and it may be this week. Jesus is the only way to God the Father. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I just want you to know, like I've told my children before, someday those of you that remain will hear the words, Jim Johnson's dead. He's gone. But I also want you to know it's going to be okay, because I have placed my faith in the resurrected Christ and I'm going home. And I just wonder, friends, today if you can say it's going to be okay, because I have placed my surrendered faith completely in Jesus Christ. If you haven't, take the time to slip up here with Pastor Les or Isaac afterwards and pray to receive Christ today, so you know that you know if today is your last day, you're going home to be with Jesus in glory forever. Brother Les, will you close us in prayer? It's on. Thank you.
Our Father and our God, we have heard from you this morning. We know that life is so fragile and uncertain. We know that we don't have the promise of tomorrow. We also know, Father, that you love us so very much. You sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. We thank you for that today. Father, I thank you for Pastor Jim, who's poured out his heart this morning. I thank you, Father, for the burden that he has for this community, that he's willing to, Father, to give his whole life to see people born into your kingdom. And Father, before we leave the sanctuary today, I pray that every precious soul will consider their stand before you. It's so important, Father, for us to be ready for that time that you're going to call us home. And I ask, Father, this morning that every precious soul will know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And as we leave here today, Father, we will go with a testimony for our family, our friends, our loved ones, those that don't know Jesus. Master, we're praying for a spiritual awakening for Motley, for this whole community, Father, that every household would be moved upon by the Holy Spirit to begin serving you with their whole hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Again, Father, we just ask that you'd go with us now. We thank you for the word that we've heard this morning. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and for your love for us. Go with us now, we pray. Jesus, we just want to tell you we love you. We just love you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us. We thank you for that precious blood that was shed for us 2,000 years ago. And one of these days, we're going to stand in your very presence. We're going to give account for the things that we have done while we were here. It's a reality, Father. It's real. It's not something that somebody made up. It's a reality. Father, you sent your Son to die for us, and we thank you for that. Go with us now, we pray, Father. I pray your blessing upon every precious soul here today. Go with us, Father. Protect us. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.